Welcome back to the Reptiles With podcast. Today, we're hanging out at Raleigh, North Carolina at the Repticon Reptile Show. We're going to talk to a few vendors about their experience at their show, their projects, and a couple things that they have coming up. But before we get started, hit like, hit subscribe, and of course, share this with your reptile-loving friends. This episode is brought to you by Repticon Reptile Show's Premium Crickets and Reptiles Express. Let's get started.
Hi, we're Morph Menagerie. You would find us at Morph Menagerie on Instagram.
Hell yeah.
And also on Facebook. And we have somehow a lot of followers on TikTok. So it's exciting.
Hell yeah. So how did you grow that social media on TikTok?
So we got really lucky for the timing because obviously we know that the reels and other things kind of are more recent than not. And
okay.
We had this really cool video of a gecko hatching and people thought that it looked like I guess like a pill.
Okay.
And then they were like, oh my god, there was a gecko in there, and they thought it was like a
gotcha.
Tylenol capsule just popping
yeah.
open. And so if you look back on our reels on Instagram, that was the first one, and then someone's like, oh, go put it on TikTok. I think on Instagram it was like 18 million and on TikTok it was like 20 million views.
Jesus.
I know, it was crazy. It went like super viral. People
yeah.
were messaging me like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was you, Gabby. And I was like, ah, I didn't know it was me either. Somehow something's happening and this is what it was. So we ended up with like, I don't know, 24, 25,000 followers on TikTok, but I don't do much with it. So
okay.
I really need to start working on that.
Yeah, that. So I did TikTok when it was like first like getting traction.
Yeah.
And I really liked it,
yeah.
but it was just like, you have to be on top of it. You have to be posting
always.
Multiple times a day.
Yes.
And I'm just like, dude, I don't have
And if you
time
don't do that,
yeah.
they like kind of like bury your videos
yeah.
again. So that's why I'm like kind of disenchanted.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Instagram does better. So.
Exactly. I'm
yeah.
doing way better with reels. You
yeah,
know, where like a reel of me like grabbing ball python eggs will do like 10,000
yes.
like views in fucking TikTok right now because I haven't posted in a year. It'll be
like 100.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, these are my friends. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for liking my videos.
Yeah. So I think I'm pretty sure it was you that posted, what was it? A sable lily
yeah.
white.
Yeah.
Fuck
so,
yeah. Dude.
Thank you. Thank you. I will say we are really, really excited to say that our sables have just been really pretty. Like
yeah.
I, not to say that others aren't, it's just a style that we were going
uh-huh.
for. And it really hit very well. So, we paired really incredible genetics. And we made sure that like, we weren't just putting, you know, how like, you remember when lilies first came out,
uh-huh.
everybody's like, let me get my hands on lilies. Let me get my hands on a male lily. Let me get my hands on every female, no
yeah,
matter
yeah.
what they look like. And I'll pair it.
Yep.
And we're trying to be really strategic about
yep.
what we're pairing, and I'm finding that the results are really worthwhile. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, that's something that I think that people in the ball python community didn't do early
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't pick the quality stuff to breed it with the quality
yes.
stuff. They made the mistake and be like, well, that has the gene that I want, so I'll just breed it to whatever so we could
yeah.
make the money, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started with ball pythons.
Okay.
And it's funny you say that because I genuinely and wholeheartedly, no matter whoever's getting into the industry, I say don't just pay a lot of money for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Pay a lot of money for one or two things.
Yes.
And really hone in on what you like and what
yeah,
your passion is rather than just to breed. Be really
yeah.
mindful. So
yeah, I definitely made
agree with that.
I made the mistake. I was just like, I need to have one of what? One of everything.
Of course.
Exactly. You know, so when I first got into ball pythons, that was like the vibe down in Miami.
Yeah.
In Miami, the people that were around were like, no, you have to have numbers.
Yeah.
You have to do 50, 100 clutches. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just do that.
yeah.
You know, and then now I'm in the process that like the past couple seasons, I'm like, I need to like refocus again, where I just like keep looking at the animals and I'm like, damn, man, like I have a limited space.
Yeah.
Like I need to figure my situation out.
Yeah.
So how's it going with the geckos for you? Do you prefer it over the ball pythons?
Or? Yeah, yeah. I
okay.
love the geckos for a lot of reasons. And we still had, we have a few ball pythons still that actually,
okay.
which is funny that you had Matt's
yeah.
Card on there.
Yeah.
He's holding on to them for us because
okay.
we were finding that we would like to do frozen thawed and we had a couple that just wouldn't take it. And
yeah.
those are the struggles that I had initially that I'm like,
yeah.
dang, I don't miss it, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
we do have some smaller projects. Like we have a bunch of boas from Da Vinci Boa. He's
okay.
great. And we have a bunch of hognose and some other fun species. But the geckos are so great. They're easy to care for. They're so, so different. And
yeah.
everything you hatch is like, oh my God, what is this? And then And the opposite, I would say, with the ball pythons, it develops as they grow.
Yeah.
So, like, you find that you're, like, you're opening a tub and you're like, oh, my God, you look so much better this week. And then, like, a couple months later, you're like, wow, where did you turn into? Like, this is amazing. Gotcha, so, I really like the, I just like that it's different, you know?
Yeah. These days, I wouldn't say that I'm falling out of love with ball pythons. It's just like it's been a lot of refocusing, and then with other areas, like specifically with the blue tongues, like I'm just doing a lot better.
Yeah,
you know. And then it sucks when I like will come showcase my ball pythons here at a show, and like nobody cares anymore.
Oh, I know. You know? It's a bummer.
Yeah, and I'm like, I worked so hard to make this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Flora Fauna conference, how's that going?
It was such a success. Yeah. It was so great.
It was the second one this year.
The second one this year. Yeah. We've got the third one underway. It'll be the same first weekend in May. We are really excited because there are a few more vendors that are a little bit more versatile that are coming too.
Okay.
So we'll have a lot. Maybe you guys will come up. I don't know if you're
interested.
I would like to. We would love to have
you. I really would.
Yeah.
You know, every time, the first time that you guys did it, I had FOMO. Second time you guys did it, FOMO. And I'm like, dude, like next time you just have to do
it. You have to just go.
Yeah.
It's literally like adult summer camp with reptiles.
Yeah.
It's,
oh, that's fun.
It's so fun. There's parties and there's, you know, wonderful food and great, you know, relationships that are being facilitated and conversations and, you know, the social media stuff and the podcasting and the different things that I saw people talking about. It was just, it's really cool. And it was very, it really brought a lot of togetherness, you know, and I think that that's kind of what the community needs. Plus, I always say my most successful shows are when my friends who are other breeders come along, because we don't sit here and try to be like, oh, well, you take $10 for this, you know, $300 animal, or, you know what I mean? Like there's not as much, I don't know, haggling, and like it's just, it's so easy. It's so easy to sell to our peers and, you know, buy from our peers. And it worked out that way really well.
Yeah, and it's gorgeous.
And it's gorgeous.
That's the thing. I remember when you guys first started posting about it for the first one, I was like, it looks like a wedding venue.
It is.
You know?
It is, actually.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's beautiful.
Thank you. We have a family member who actually owns it.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. And the initial investment would have been more than what anybody in a reptile world would ever pay for this kind of a venue, which is why it's so unique. So we had a really great connection that way. And now with the amount of vendors and everything, it's so successful and we're doing really well with it. But it wouldn't have been able to happen. And that vision that we had for something like better for us, like we deserve as vendors and reptile keepers to have a place to vend that we care about the vendors, you know. There's like a whole vendor back room with like snacks and
it's
drinks.
Like a green
and,
room.
Yeah, it was like, it's the best. There's like, you have like a relaxing space and, you know, so we pull out all the stops that we can for
That's
it.
That's exciting.
So, thank you.
When's the next one?
So it's the first weekend of May of 2024. I believe that's the 3rd, 4th, 5th.
You said 2024, and I was like, oh, in 2 years. I was like, wait, no, that's next year, bro.
Next year. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And it's already June, like, next week. So before you know, it'll be 2024, and then we'll be sitting here talking about 2024.
Yeah. I got to start making plans. So are you guys doing this full-time?
So we can do it full-time.
Okay.
But with the way that my personal life is, I just don't like to sit down. So I still do hair, and I enjoy doing
fun.
Hair. Mm-hmm, my hairstylist. I've been doing it for 16 years.
Uh-huh.
And then my husband does project manager for a roofing company for a couple of days a week, too. So, like, we both get to work a couple of days here and there to be social, to have extra income, to just get out of the house. Because I don't know about you, but looking at animals 24/7, and not having any help with it and having to be 100% caretaker can make you feel burnt out. I always recommend to people who are like really into it and do it full time, I say, listen, get an employee and like one day a week, even if you're doing something that's like social or you're going to a dance class, I don't know, just do something else that takes you out of it so that you could still stay fresh and revitalized in the industry, I would say. So
exciting.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
Any cool projects coming up?
We're doing this year, Cindy with Gecko Haven, we have her male sable on loan. So we did that to our sable so we can make super sables. We also did a lily white exanthic pairing, so sable and lily exanthic, which will be nice. That'll be a three gene animal that we'll have, which is crazy talking about three gene animal and cresteds. Like,
I know,
isn't that wild? When
I
first started, like a pinstripe was where it was at, you know.
Yeah.
And then what else? We're actually underway. We're building a new house and we're building a whole separate building. So we're going to have an adult room, a baby room. We're going to actually have a big wall of enclosures of arboreal snakes. And so we're excited.
Cool. Yeah. I just went to, it was a couple weeks ago. I went to Tiki's place.
Oh yeah. We're going to go see him in a couple weeks. Actually.
Yeah. 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 And like, I fell in love. I was like, dude, I told him, I was like, I need the dimensions of this house where you have the crested geckos, because I need that in my backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they do such a great job. We've been to their facility a few times and they're just great people. I love, love, love them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I've made good friends with them over the years. Yeah. Manny helped me a lot with the blue tongues and stuff like that. He got me going.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, tag yourself one more time.
Thank you. All right. So Morph Menagerie. At Morph Menagerie on Instagram.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, thanks for having me. This is so cool. Thank you. You guys are awesome.
Hi, I'm TJ from Sunny Crest Geckos.
Hell yeah. So what do you work with? Crested geckos.
Yeah, mostly crested geckos. Gotcha. We just started working with corn snakes a little bit too, though.
Okay. Why corn snakes?
Well, mostly they're low maintenance. I mean, not a lot of energy costs because we're small right now. We're making our way up there, though.
All right. Cool, cool, cool. So your TikTok is popping.
A little bit.
Tell me a little bit about how you got like to growing that audience and stuff like that.
Honestly, I didn't even want to use TikTok before.
Okay.
It was my wife was like, we should really be promoting it.
Okay.
And then so she was messing around with it, and then she made the videos. So actually the first one that went off was I had a small male who paired with my largest female. And I was moving on to my mother-in-law's house because I was going to take pictures and stuff for the Instagram.
Yeah.
And when I opened the tote, he was paired with her, like full lock.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't like, she wasn't grabbing after.
Yeah.
But that ended up getting like 500,000 views.
Jesus.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then a couple months later, there was... I saw a video of Tiki's geckos. I gotta give them the credit because they were rubbing the tegu egg.
Yeah,
and it came out
of
the egg.
Yep.
And then I tried it on a crested gecko egg.
And it worked?
And it worked.
Oh, cool.
And then there were a couple videos that got one actually got 3.6 million views.
Wow.
I think it was, or something like that. Maybe it was 3 million. I can't remember.
Gotcha.
I actually don't even have TikTok on my phone. My wife does.
Got you.
But, yeah. Just... I guess we got lucky with that stuff, and I just kept recording videos.
Cool, cool. And do you do Instagram also, or?
Yeah, we take some pictures here, and then we're not super active on it because I also work 60 hours a week.
Jesus, what do you do?
I'm a pipeliner.
Wow.
Install natural gas lines.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. And then also a full-time student.
Okay.
Biology, and my wife is a full-time student as well.
Okay, so biology, is there like a specific avenue that you want to go through?
So I'm doing my right now. It's conservation biology is like the major, but I would rather go into herpetology.
Okay.
But I mean, it's all cool, really, because science is awesome. I mean, biology is cool. I mean, it's everything that's alive. It's not just reptiles, but other animals. Like, I enjoy all animals. I don't have any. I mostly have reptiles.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a jumping spider too.
Okay.
Actually, came from here. Repticon last show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was actually a funny story. But
cool.
Yeah, I've always liked animals.
Yeah, yeah. So for you, the reptiles more than anything, it's just like a hobby kind of thing. It's not like something that you're like, oh, I want to go full time and breed these reptiles.
Oh, no, I do.
Like, oh, you do. Okay,
yeah, so
okay.
I'm definitely trying to go that route. It's just right now with the economy and everything, like things are expensive. So
they
it's hard because.
Yeah.
COVID had just ended and I was like, well, I really like reptiles. I'm going to start breeding them. And then, it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, we didn't expect the TikTok to go the way it did.
Yeah.
Or our first season to go the way it did.
Yeah.
And then we vended here twice and then sold out both times, which was unexpected too. So like, it's been really good so far.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. And I wouldn't like poo-poo on maybe the idea of like, buying like, I wouldn't say buying bulk animals, but like, let's say you find a crested gecko that you really, really like, you know, ask the breeder, hey, like, what would you do if I get that one? And then like 10 of these, and then use those to kind of replenish the cost of what you just, what you were going to make, or sorry, what you were going to spend on the one that you wanted, and then sell the other one, so you could stay active here in the shows and stuff like that. That that'd be really good for growing a breeding business.
I actually didn't consider that.
Yeah, I mean that's a way that a lot of breeders really get their like stock growing and stuff like that.
For me, what it was is we're not super big. Like I had close to, I think it was 72 geckos.
That's a lot of geckos, bro.
Yeah, so that's why. Within two shows selling out, I cleared it back to 27. So now I'm down to my breeders and then my holdbacks. So that's why I was trying to get them all out. And I wasn't really worried about, like, this one I'm okay with not selling it because I have time to, you know, hatch things, see what I want to keep. And then other things I could just be like, okay, well, these are definitely going to sell. Yeah, yeah. And then over this season, which I'll probably be selling probably in the next show.
Cool.
But, yeah.
Cool stuff, dude. All right, now, dream species. Is there anything outside of, like, you got your corn snakes, you got your crested geckos, anything that, like, you want to start working with?
Oh, dude. I would love to breed Argentine black and white tegus. I had one. Her name was Lucy.
Yeah.
I had her for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then they banned the species here in North Carolina.
Damn. I was about to say, I was like, yeah, you know, I can't know anything about that because I'm from Florida.
Yeah, and they're also, it started in Florida, and then it just, the ban started working its way up as they moved. And
yeah.
It's honestly, I don't agree with it at all. I mean, there's not going to be a big population of them here. I understand that they can brumate. But
yeah,
it gets really, really cold.
I am
here.
Literally dying right now. I'm like, dude, it's so fucking cold.
I mean,
here.
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a biologist. I'm not like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, I'm the expert in this. I don't think that they can live here.
Well, I do understand how the brumation works.
Yeah,
I mean, they dig down below 4 feet because that's where the freezing. As far as it freezes to.
Okay.
So once you get below 4 feet, I mean, that's as cold as it's gonna get, and then they just go to sleep. It's just like corn snakes.
Yeah. I mean, the blue tongues do it.
Yeah. I mean, everything, a lot of reptiles brumate.
Yeah.
But it's just really interesting because they're the only endothermic lizard that I know of. I'm pretty sure that everyone knows of.
Okay.
So, you know what endothermic means?
I have no fucking idea.
So, endothermic means we're endothermic. We produce heat from the inside.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
So reptiles, they're not cold-blooded everyone thinks they are. They're actually exothermic, which means they get their heat from the outside.
Understood.
They just aren't able to regulate it.
Uh-huh.
So
you're saying tegus, they are able to produce their
during the breeding season. Able to change their they're able to shift their temperature. I think it's like I'm not an expert on them by no means, but I think it's like, it's somewhere between 10 and like 20 degrees, somewhere around there. But that's kind of a big deal because if you think about it, all it takes for us to go into hypothermia is a 4 degree temperature drop.
Uh-huh.
We typically say at 98, you hit 94 and you could be hypothermic.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
Interesting. Well, maybe things will change. Maybe you'll be able to get your tegu.
Maybe all those crazy politicians will let us have our reptiles back.
Yeah. But okay, so other than tegus, anything else? Anything?
Honestly, I just like everything. My dream is to have a big facility. When I was in the Army, I was watching a whole lot of Brian Barsik's videos.
Okay.
A whole lot of them. And I was just like, man, that's so cool. Like, he just gets to work with those animals every day.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. Like, he's on his own schedule. He's on his own terms. No boss. Like, he gets to buy what animals he wants.
Yeah.
He gets to sell what animals he wants.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell him what to do. And it is very unfortunate that he's going through what he is right now.
Yes.
And if he sees this, then I feel for you.
Yeah.
And thanks for all the inspiration.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Like,
yeah, I owe him everything that I do.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, for real. Like, that guy is a pioneer to me. Like,
definitely, dude.
I knew about him before I knew about, like, Tom from Geckological.
Okay.
And, honestly, I don't remember the guy's name from Pangea.
You're good, dude. Well, tag yourself one more time so that way people know where to find you.
Yeah, we're Sunnycrest Geckos, and you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Sunnycrest Geckos. It's SunnyCrestGeckos.
There we go. All righty.
That's it.
There's nothing better than the smell of coffee in the morning. Okay. There's also nothing better than the smell of reptiles in the morning. Psych. Reptiles with coffee. That's the smell you want. the strongest coffee, all right? We have it for you. Head on over to the description or go to coldbloodedcaffeine.com and use the code ReptilesWith to get your Reptiles With coffee today. If you want to support us, head on over to modernreptileshop.com or in the description where you can find our merch. And the best part is that a percent of the proceeds from the merch gets donated to conservation. One more time, that's modernreptileshop.com or head on over to the description. Talk to me about your animals.
Ooh, what do you want to know about animals? So what? I got a few projects going on.
Yeah, tell me about your projects. I remember like you had posted something on Facebook a while back that it was like, oh, like we're working real hard to like produce like 13 species, was it, or something like that?
Yeah, so we're working on a few different species right now. Mm-hmm. This upcoming year, we're doing longicauda boa, so the Peruvian red tail, yep. Shrew locality, Mandarin rat snakes, Texas rat snakes, and then one of my favorite projects I just got eggs from, exanthic lily whites.
Cool.
So that's a really, really exciting thing in the next 2 months. Yeah. Those guys should prove out. The person I was working for previously had messaged me that every animal that I picked out for them in regards to those genetics has proved out. So I've
got you.
Pretty high faith that those guys are going to turn out good.
Nice.
And one of those females, completely unrelated male, is throwing, they're not viable babies, but they're completely black with black eyes. So in all the research that I've done, everything like that, it's usually fourth to fifth time that they throw them. They actually produce viable babies. So with any luck, I'll get exanthic or super cappuccinos out of that group with the potential lily white with it.
You think crested geckos are going to be like the new investment thing? Like I see it like there, you know?
So potentially, most definitely. Okay. The reason why I say that is how everyone has invested into ball pythons over the the past, I would say, I mean, close to 20 years. I believe your crested geckos have a lot more genetics to them than people realize. And slowly through group breeding, everything like that, out of the select individuals that were brought into the States, a lot of genetics are now proving out.
Yeah.
And people are going to realize they're a lot more genetically linked versus being polymorphic animals. And that is going to drive the market in them for people to actually breed their animals and see what they can produce, most definitely.
Okay. Do you guys do any gargoyle geckos?
We do a little bit, yes. I actually, we're working on pink-based stuff right now. It's one of the more rare forms of your gargoyle geckos. Pink-based is very hard to come by. So we're working on pink-based with really, really nice black striping and then the white highlighting to them.
Got you. You know, I don't know if I'm, like, super lame for this, but I actually prefer the black and white gargoyle geckos.
So, no, you're not at all. Okay, so that's one of my favorite complexes. I call them the Beetlejuice geckos.
Okay.
The reason being is that nice black and white stripe with a really, really nice gray base color is truthfully one of the most sought after, but not a lot of people go after it because everyone is hyping up the red stripes, the orange stripes, your blotches, stuff like that. But there are select individuals that really, really like that neutral base. Yeah. And in particular, I'm a big fan of.
Okay. So your big project is the crested geckos. What's like number two for you?
Number two is proving out Anolis equestris.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that have told me there are not crosses in the wild that is solely Anolis equestris and that there are no color morphs that you can find in the wild.
Okay.
Every Cuban night anole that I have is wild caught. I have some that have white splotching with perfect scalation and then some that have blue bases.
Okay.
And they have held this from baby up to adulthood. Now even Ron St. Pierre, so Fairy Tale Dragons, has tried doing this and they have not had success. So that is probably my next big project that I'm really, really working on proving out. I have probably 10 individuals that have held their color from juveniles to adulthood.
Okay.
So I would love to see captive bred and born colored Anolis equestris in the industry, and that's what I'm working on, as well as morphs, other than just them being albino. I'm working on some pied stuff and then the blue phase.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I remember being a kid and growing up in Miami that, you know, my Cuban family was like, that's a fucking iguana. That's an iguana. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, it's not. It doesn't even look like one.
Yeah. It's green. You know, if it's a green lizard, run around yeah. Miami. It's an iguana always.
That it is. All right. So then number three.
Ooh. Honestly, I would have to say my Peruvians.
Okay.
The main reason being is there's not a lot of captive breeders of your longicottas, mine uh-huh. in particular. So I picked my guys out of 50 plus babies. Okay. My male that I have is blue and yellow. He is not gray. He doesn't have any black to him either. Okay. And there are no morphs in your true longicotta localities. So that's something that I'm working on proving out through that generation of breeding
yeah.
is the blue and yellow phasing it either being annery or a potential color line, much like your blood or pastel pinks
okay.
that you see with some of your other boas.
Cool.
But even the person that produced them doesn't have, the parents don't look like them, and any of their holdbacks, they don't look like them. So I'm really, really excited about those guys, because if that happens to prove out, that will be actually one of the first in the world to prove out for recessive genetics with your Peruvian boas.
Why not ball pythons?
Too many people doing ball pythons. So I helped a lot of people do ball pythons. That's actually what I started with, was okay. bearded dragons and ball pythons. The company that I worked for before, that is what their bread and butter was, basically, okay. was the ball pythons. And there's actually a few customers that I have now that are now vendors.
Yeah.
And they're big time ball python breeders and everything like that. It's not personally my thing. I love the ball pythons. There's a lot of advantage with them as far as all the colors and combos and everything like that. It's just not my thing. I think there's enough people doing them. Yeah. I'd rather focus on more the odds and ends stuff. The reason being, for whatever reason, that seems to work out for me the best.
Yeah, just like things that like need a little bit more attention. And yeah. that's something that I've seen like come out of like a younger crowd, is like people are really trying to find just like the new thing. What's going to yeah. be like the new fun thing to do? Yeah, I'm trying to find that within myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been like, specifically with snakes, like I've been getting into like, I have a pair of Rettles pythons, so those I'm like thinking really about cool. like maybe I do some carpets, but
yeah.
so I don't know. I'm like back and forth about like just the way I've been keeping things. Like I'm like, I don't want to like keep a lot of things in racks and shit.
So yeah. I definitely think that is a huge advantage with the younger generation, is they're looking to do more for the longevity of the animals versus just breeding them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new information scientifically that's coming out on how to keep animals, even with crested geckos, them having advantage of having UVB or leopard geckos, whereas yeah. before that was thought to cause blindness and everything like that. In the younger generation, I think too, they're taking a lot of notice of odds and ends animals that don't get imported that often or at risk of not getting imported anymore.
Yeah.
And those people are going to be the people that keep these animals in captivity, because yeah. when they're no longer allowed to be imported and you have these young people breeding them, even if it's only a 1.1, you have someone then providing the animal and offering it to the public, driving that information. Yeah. Driving that education and providing it to them to go ahead and go, oh, we want these animals. And that's what's going to keep the industry going of
yeah.
the odds and ends yeah. animals.
How do you feel about importing, just like in general?
So I have mixed feelings, 100%. So full disclosure, we're going to go back a little bit. The place that I came from is 100% no, you don't do imports. Like, those are not a good thing.
Okay.
And then I talked to a gentleman that was raised in Thailand who came to the States, and he explained to me the situation of these animals and how they're literally boxed in cages. And if they don't get sold for whatever reason, they get used as food, because these are these people's way of life.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether they're ascites animals or not, these animals are getting collected. And at that point, it opened my eyes to where if we care about these animals, we want to do something, it's our duty then to collect these animals and breed them and provide captive populations to go ahead and ensure they're all sold out in their other country, whether it be to people selling them because they need money for food, or people selling them due to habitat destruction. We are then providing them to the public to keep these animals around. We are then providing an opportunity to keep them from extinction. Also, specifically like crested geckos, we had touched on that. There are only 6 crested geckos that have come from the wild. Every crested gecko that stems in captivity comes from those 6. So there's inbreeding. Yeah. Along the line somewhere, that is going to be detrimental to the animal because there's no new blood coming in. That is going to affect them genetically in a negative way.
I think the thing that people get a little bit like back and forth with was like, oh yeah, we bring them in so we can like have like, we can ensure that they'll always be around, is that they're still like biologically dead. Like we wouldn't ever be able to like re-release them because, you know, we're, for lack of a better term, we're doing these things for like selfish reasons, some inbreeding, some of this, some of that. So like, yeah, they'll still be around, but they'll never be back in the wild. But I mean, if you're talking about like deforestation, if you're talking about like things like that, it's just like, well, they weren't going to be there anyways, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then especially with like some of this like morph market shit that's been going around and all that drama, how do you feel about that?
So that's one of those things. I worked for a company before that did a lot of what they do is imports, and they got one of the world's first like innery sand boas in.
Uh-huh.
And that's a really cool thing for the industry. And even if these animals, we can't re-release them back into the habitat, we are providing them an opportunity to still live in captivity. Yeah,
that baby is crying so hard right now.
Yes, it is. At least it's not my goat. That's all I care about. As long as it's not my goat crying.
Sorry, continue.
It's one of those things that, you know, in hopes one day, even if there's only 4 pairs on display in a museum, we're providing people, our population, and the future with the opportunity to see these animals and learn about them. Yeah. And if we're smart, we have the opportunity, we can cut back on deforestation and stuff like that and give them their habitat back. And if we do everything right, we have the opportunity to do that. But at the very least, we have the opportunity to keep them in captivity and educate the public about them. And we're not shorting them the opportunity of these animals being extinct due to our human, habits, so to speak.
Hell yeah. Well, tag yourself one more time.
So it is @ventures_exotics on Instagram. You can find us on Morph Market there too. My name is Allie. It's nice to talk to you guys.
Awesome. So I am Matt. With Top Tier Caging right here out of Wake Forest.
Hell yeah.
It is Top Tier Caging by RD on Facebook and Top Tier Cages on Instagram.
Nice. So tell me how you got started making these cages.
So my acrylic displays all started because my 2-year-old son wanted a fish tank.
Okay.
And I just one day was like, I guess I can weld acrylic now.
Okay.
And it kind of snowballed from there. I did that. One of my friends was making fish tanks at the time. And he was like, dude, people ask me for displays. They want towers. They want everything to be able to walk in and set up a show and not have to think about it from one place. And
yeah. I like what it is that you're doing with these displays. Something that I'm very vocal about is some of these shows, sometimes some of the vendors might not put a lot of effort into their displays. And I would always say, I'm like, you want to represent your business when you're doing whatever kind of show, whatever kind of size it is. And a big key to that is good displays. And that's what you have here. You have good displays.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about this unit that I'm totally going to buy off of you after this.
Awesome. This particular display is done with a hinge on the front that flips out of the way, so every single compartment can be opened.
Yep.
One of the nice things about my displays, I want to drop it on you here.
That's fine.
But everything opens up. Every divider is removable.
Yep.
So in this particular case, it's a four slot for the 3-tier.
Uh-huh.
And basically, you can turn it into 1, 2, 3, however you want to actually break it down. And I can go up to 6 slots and still give you an like ample amount of room to put your animals.
Yeah.
But everything is removable to really allow that versatility, because you're not always going to have just hatchlings or even just one species that has certain requirements.
For sure. Yeah, so like what I was telling you earlier today, I had a buddy of mine that was making acrylics, And this was like, as far as like the dividers opening up, it was a similar idea that I had going on. But he's not a reptile guy. He understood what I wanted to do, but he couldn't implement it the way that it needed to get done. This is how it needs to get done. This,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love this. Totally gonna buy it from you. So, and what else are you working with other than acrylic? I saw that you have just like PVC enclosures and stuff like that.
So I do all of the foam PVC enclosures.
Okay.
And it's called foamed PVC, but it's just those like half inch PVC sheets that everybody
knows.
Why
do they call them foam PVC?
Because it is actually got a foamed core to it.
Oh.
So it's solid PVC, but it just comes down to the amount of air in the product.
Oh.
So if you did like solid PVC, like your regular PVC pipe, it would just be ungodly heavy, just impossible to move around, and more on the brittle side.
I always wondered, because I know, I think the product is called X-PVC.
Yep, like, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I always wonder, like, what is this X? Like, is it just regular PVC? And I guess that's what it is. Okay.
Yep.
Cool, cool. So as far as, like, what is the best-selling item for you?
Oh, God. Right now, 4x2x2 enclosures are, like, kind of the mainstay. Because it's become the industry standard for a lot of species.
Yeah,
it kind of checks off boxes.
Yeah.
But really the big thing right now is a shift to bigger is better.
Yep.
So 4x2x2 is where I start.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of goes up from there. I sell a lot of the 6x2x2s, condo units where people have 5 or 6 animals and they don't want to do rack systems anymore.
Yeah.
Build it all
That's
into
awesome.
One wall, slap it on wheels. That way you can push it around when you need to.
I've noticed that with as the industry has changed, that is something that is definitely going on, where some people are getting out of the rack system, specifically for animals that, if we're being honest with you, like, they move a lot.
Yeah.
Like, some of these boas, you know, like Colombians, and especially getting into, you know, like Surinames and Guyanas, the true reptiles that get very large. The same thing with, like, you know, I personally keep blue-tongued skinks in racks. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, something that I've been working on is moving out of that situation. Same thing with, like, carpet pythons. I mean, those things are semi-arboreal, but even that's a question mark, because I have some that live outside in Florida, and they are always on a branch on something.
Yep.
They're seldom on the floor.
I got a big bred lie that lives in her
that's exactly what I have.
In the top of the cage.
That's exactly what I have. You know, I have a pair outside, and that's just
awesome.
What they do, you know. And so I've noticed that a shift in, like, the customer base, where the majority of people, that's what they want. They want larger enclosures. They want bioactive. It's no longer like, can I put this in a tub?
You know?
And that's
how many can I cram in there?
Yeah. And that's kind of exciting, because even that, over the next few years, can really, like, the prices of these animals will probably change. They'll probably raise, because it's going to cost a little bit more to produce. But in the end of the day, what you're putting in these enclosures is alive. You know, so you want them to be able to get as much as possible out of their life when they're offering something for you. You know, if you have a business breeding animals, I mean, that's your thing.
They deserve enrichment.
Yeah, exactly. And I sound like a fucking hypocrite right now, because I keep balls and blueies and racks.
We all do.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's the future, and I'm open to the future. I'm not going to be one of those guys that, like, stuck in my ways. So what are you keeping?
I keep a lot of ball pythons.
Hell
but
yeah.
I do... carpets, blackheads, womas, green trees.
Nice.
Dabbling in some corn snakes.
Okay.
Just a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And do you bring any of that stuff to the shows, or at the shows you're mainly doing your cages?
Pretty much doing the cages.
Yeah.
I have all of these animals. I really don't try to produce a lot.
Okay.
So I might do 2 or 3 ball clutches a year. I've got 1 pair of womas, 1 pair of blackheads.
Do they go for you every year?
I don't let them go for me every year.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
I typically, there's certain species that do better from everything that I've heard going
Understood.
Every year. Like some of the blackhead people that I've spoken with are like, if you get them breeding, try to breed them every year.
Uh-huh.
Because they will eat, they'll gain weight, they'll do fine. And they actually produce better clutches if you breed them every year.
Understood.
I had my bred lie go 3 years in a row. I gave her a year off, and I hadn't got a clutch out of her since.
Wow.
So I don't know if there's actually some, like, credence to that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there comes a point in time they deserve a break. Like,
they
need to really recover.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm enjoying about keeping the Bradley Eye outside, is that the male and the female, you know, the male will go and breed her, but then they really do separate.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to see how long I can do that naturally. You know, if it becomes a problem, it becomes a problem, you know.
Yeah.
But one more time, go ahead and tag yourselves, talk about your displays before we get going.
Awesome. So I'm Matt with Top Tier Caging. I'm right here in Wake Forest. It's Top Tier Caging by RD on Facebook and Top Tier Cages on Instagram. Tight. And what I got here today is my acrylic display for all of the different breeders and vendors who want to sell their animals here.
Hell yeah.
I produce all of the different cages, displays, stands, a little bit of everything.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Leave a comment down below letting us know what your favorite part of this episode was. And one more time, this episode was brought to you by Repticon Reptile Shows, Premium Crickets, and Reptiles Express.